Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by Denise Salcedo. How's it going, Denise?
What up? I like to surprise you every now and then with my intros.
Dude, it works. It works every single time. Right, let's dive into the main show here because we've been talking about Bad Bunny and my lack of pop culture knowledge. Here is the show. Queen of British snacks, Denise Salcedo. How's it going, Denise?
Oh, I am definitely the queen of British snacks. And here's the funny part. You have no idea what is in store for you and some key words that you just said.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you said something that's very key to this video. And I cannot tell you. Like what?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
And I almost feel like you're inside my brain, though.
I was going to say, this isn't a bit either. Like, we didn't, like, rehearse this or anything. Because I've not seen the video yet.
No.
Only I've seen
the video. No one has seen it.
It'll actually go up before this podcast goes up. Because, like, yeah. We're recording this about 7 hours before it goes out, which I think is about sort of, like, 3 o'clock. And this podcast goes out at 5 p.m., like, our time. So I'll have already seen the video by the time that this podcast goes out.
So 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time is, I think, 4 p.m. UK time, right?
It's 3 p.m.
It's 3 p.m. Okay, so my video is going up way before this video. So by the time you guys are all watching this video, you would have all gotten that reference that Luke just did and just like everything else. I'm so excited about it. You have no idea. Oh,
there's
one thing that you should know. So this is not about the video, but I kept a personal stash in my room of things that I didn't even want to share with my fiance or my grandparents. I was like, here, that's just one little tiny piece for you. and there's just this, there's like a whole thing. I don't want to spoil anything, but it's pretty exciting.
Okay. Oh, man, I'm so excited for it. But right, okay, let's get into the key things here. Actually, a bit of admin first, bit of housekeeping. As you'll notice in this little banner below, this show is moving to the WrestleTalk podcast channel. We are trying to make our content more accessible for the WrestleTalk audience. What we found is that there are some people who just watch the news, there are some people who just watch the podcast, there are some people who just watch the lists. And because we load all three of those to the same channel, that means the audience doesn't get served the videos that they actually want. So we're moving the content to their own little homes. That includes the WrestleTalk podcast, which is my little baby. I've been doing this for 5 years now, moving this to the WrestleTalk podcast channel. This is here for another 2 weeks. This is our penultimate episode on the main WrestleTalk channel before we move over to WrestleTalk podcast. So do go over there, subscribe. There's a link for it in the video description down below. Go and give that a subscribe, and we'll see you there in a couple of weeks full time after Elimination Chamber. But after Elimination Chamber also comes WrestleMania. And so Bad Bunny debuted with WWE at the Royal Rumble. It's kind of like a really big get for WWE because, you know, he's this huge, huge star and he's a massive wrestling fan. He had a song about Booker T. So they were like, well, we'll get Booker T out there and we'll get him to do the song. And then he started to do a little skit with Miz and Morrison during the Rumble match. And ever since then, has been on Raw every single week. Like, he's been on Raw out there with Damian Priest. They've got this new friendship, this new bond. And they are leading to a match. Dave Meltzer was the first person to report that there's going to be a tag match at WrestleMania of Bad Bunny and Damian Priest versus Miz and Morrison. So you've talked about this with Sean on the Fightful Raw post show. But what are your feelings on Bad Bunny in WWE?
I love it. So first of all, I didn't know much about Bad Bunny prior to this, but I did end up listening to his music after a while. I was like, I have to get familiar with who I'm talking about, especially if he's going to be somebody that's going to be appearing on television. I feel like I at least have to know a little bit of his music. So I did go on, and I have to say that I was completely shocked at some of the numbers that his music gets. And I kind of already knew that going into it because I was researching stats about him and just kind of seeing like cool little fun facts of who he is and where he places in the grand scope of like the different artists that I like. Cause everybody knows I'm a big Taylor Swift fan, but I also love Billie Eilish, and those two have really big fan audiences. And the fact that like he beat them out in 2020 for most numbers, even beating out BTS, to this day completely trips me out. Like it's mind blowing to me. Well, anyway, so Bad Bunny, he is doing such good stuff, I think, for WWE because he is bringing in a lot of new eyes. And I know this because I know that Fightful Select reported the numbers of the merchandise in which he's doing like all of these big sales. And I'm thinking, what on earth? Like, that is pretty cool. So money-wise, it's looking pretty good for them in terms of merch. Eyes wise, I think it is because based on like the social media numbers that I've been seeing, whether it's on his page or even on like WWE's PR pages and like all of that different stuff, you always see that the Bad Bunny stuff is getting more views than what they normally post. And so it kind of makes you think, hey, there's obviously people out there that are, you know, fans, and they want to tune in and they want to find out what's going on. And, you know, it's kind of surprising to me, Luke, that they haven't always been completely promoting the Bad Bunny thing. I didn't expect to see him on Raw this past Monday, but he's doing a lot. He isn't just doing like a cameo here and there. So it's almost like he's coming with this respect for what he's doing. Like, you can really tell he actually cares about what he's doing in this collaboration with WWE.
Yeah, he looks like he's really enjoying himself out there, and he's like really like getting involved. And, you know, I really enjoyed the spot that he had. Was it on this week's Raw with the Money in the Bank thing, where he slides the Money in the Bank briefcase in to make John Morrison get in the ring so that Miz and Morrison get ejected from ringside during the Angel Garza match? I was like, that's actually quite a smart babyface move. Like, that was actually, it was really nice to see. And I quite enjoyed that. The eyeballs thing that you mentioned is interesting about Bad Bunny, is that like, while it's probably not translating into TV viewer figures because Raw is doing basically the same as what it was doing like before that he debuted, and we're in the road to WrestleMania, so views are going to be sort of slowly increasing. You look at like the YouTube numbers, and as you say, like social media stats and everything, which is kind of like, you know, it's what WWE are saying, it's the non-linear eyeballs, or like the digital, whatever it was that Nick Khan was talking
about. I think Triple H reiterated that in his press conference today before NXT TakeOver, and he also mentioned the linear eyeballs. And I was like, okay, I get it to a certain extent, because I know, for example, my fiance's nephew who watches wrestling, he doesn't watch on cable, even though they have cable. He watches it and keeps up via YouTube. And I'm thinking, okay, well, that's
exactly it. Yeah.
So there's people out there doing that.
Yeah, so I like this new WWE line of the linear eyeballs thing. I really like it. But it's the so you look at like the YouTube numbers for Raw, and Bad Bunny is in probably the top three of things. I would say, like, if it's a Bliss Randy Orton thing, that's always going to be number one. And then it's usually a fight for number two between anything with Drew and Bad Bunny, basically. And there are times when Bad Bunny is beating out Drew, but the only times that everyone gets beaten out by Randy and Bliss, which is why, like, I think WWE are kind of like pushing it forwards, you know, and making it sort of their main event thing. So Bad Bunny is having a really positive impact for WWE. And as you mentioned there, the merchandise sales, that's crazy numbers. Like, he's outselling wrestlers in terms of merchandise. So people are really, really into this. And I know that there are, you know, when Bad Bunny was first announced, there were people who did the whole, who? I don't know who this person is. But what it's shown is that there are a lot of people who know who this is. I don't know if you actually heard this. On the Raw review I did last week with Ollie, I saw your tweet that you put out about how, you know, he's had more plays than, like, he was the most, like, streamed artist on Spotify and things like that. And I'm like, well, cool. Denise is someone who knows things about music. So I'm going to use Denise's knowledge and I'm going to impart some of that wisdom onto the WrestleTalk audience to say that this is why Bad Bunny's a good thing. And I said that he was biggest streaming artist than GTS. And then after a while,
instead of BTS, shut up.
And then Ollie was like, do you mean BTS? And I was like, I think I might do. Yeah, I was thinking of the go to sleep.
Luke, you are about to get ripped apart by the army. BTS has the biggest fan base out there. That's why the fact that Bad Bunny beat out BTS, I cannot put into words how big the BTS army is. So, like, if you would have had any of those people on your stream, they would have been like, wow, you know, going crazy. Like, how dare you disrespect us?
I'm 35. Like, I'm a 35-year-old millennial. Like, if I get it wrong, like, I think I've got a pass on that one. I'm a balding 35-year-old millennial. I have not listened to any K-pop, I'm afraid. I've also not listened to any Bad Bunny. Like, I keep meaning to, but then Foo Fighters have just dropped a new album. And because I'm a 35-year-old millennial, I'm just like, I'll need to listen to the new Foo Fighters album.
I like how you bring out Foo Fighters. Like, yeah, everybody knows and likes Foo Fighters, but Foo Fighters is not, like, hip and trendy anymore. Like, maybe hip and trendy in a different world, but not in, like, the main... I don't even know how to say it. Not in, like, the...
No, I completely, I mean, the mainstream. Right? I completely get
exactly.
what you mean. Yeah. I was watching an interview with Dave Grohl on BBC News the other morning where he was like, it's the 25th anniversary of the Foo Fighters. And I was like, oh, good crikey, that makes me feel very old. Because, like, I was, like, standing outside the barriers, like, trying to hear the Foo Fighters' first performance at Reading Festival in 1995, like, trying to hear, like, through the thing because I was too young to go in, but I wanted to hear what the Foos were doing. That made me feel very, very old. Anyway. So I know nothing about music.
Stop for a second. You need to listen to K-pop, all right? I'm not a big fan of BTS. I've listened to their stuff, but it doesn't necessarily, it's not my thing, right? But I listen to their stuff and I watch the music video because I love the way that they dance. But I love, so you should listen to this group, and it is Blackpink. I love Blackpink. I'm a Blink, all right? Their stuff is really good. You need to check it out. I will send you a song. It's pretty fantastic, actually. I love Blackpink.
Please do. I'm all in for it. I'm open to new things. I'm open to giving things a try. From what I've heard of Bad Bunny, because, you know, I heard the Royal Rumble thing. It's not my cup of tea. It's not really my sort of thing. But having said that,
Zumba music
I totally
is?
Get it. Zumba music. Well, it's in, like, the exercise.
You know, yeah, you know Zumba, like, you listen to, like, all this, like, heavy, fast-paced, like, Latin music.
Yeah.
That's sort of what it reminded me of when I listened to Bad. Now, granted, I didn't listen to every single living, breathing song of his, but the ones that I did listen to, they sounded like something that I would listen to while, like, I was working out, doing some Zumba. Mm-hmm. And I loved Zumba back before the pre-COVID days, so I know that that's something that I would jam out to.
But anyway, so Bad Bunny is reportedly going to have a match at Mania. And this comes from SportsKeeda. It says, I'm hearing that Bad Bunny is already at or going soon to be at the PC in Orlando, with Bow Wow expected to be there as well. Bow Wow is wrapping up an album. While this is great news for social media, word has it that talent are actually not impressed by the move. Talent is concerned that time and effort will go into the rap stars, which leaves less effort being given to the actual wrestling product. So the Bow Wow side of things, he, like, seemingly out of nowhere, just said, like, I think I'm going to be a wrestler. I think I'm going to win the tag titles with Rey Mysterio. And according to this report, WWE have got some interest in this. And Nick Khan himself did say he's, like, WWE's one of their top brass people. He told Forbes in a recent interview that, yeah, they're going to be working with Bad Bunny and they would want to work with Cardi B because Cardi B, you know, put out those tweets during Legends Night. And he noted in that interview that music stars at the moment aren't touring because no one can tour. So this is actually the perfect time to be bringing in people like Bad Bunny, Bow Wow, and Cardi B, because WrestleMania is going to have fans in there. It's going to be WWE's first show with, like, a large crowd. So they want to do something big and want to do something spectacular for it. So I suppose the question I want to ask you is that, do you agree with the this reported, not heat on Bad Bunny, but this reported idea that wrestlers are, like, they might be taking a spot from me?
I think there's different levels to this, all right? I'm not a fan of Bow Wow, or I'll tell you that much right now. I have zero interest in seeing Bow Wow. I zero interest. Okay.
I'm just gonna ask a quick question.
Oh yeah.
Is Lil Bow Wow, right?
I don't know. It's just Bow Wow, but I'm on his page right now. So I wasn't ignoring you. I was actually pulling up his Twitter page. So, okay. I'm not a fan of Bow Wow. I'll start off by saying, okay, because I have a lot to say about this. I don't even know where to go from here. So from the big scope of things, Bow Wow is nowhere near the level of Bad Bunny, all right? Bad Bunny's up here. Bow Wow to me is like down here. So when I say that, you know, having Bad Bunny appear is good, right? Now having Bow Wow up here, all right, it might be okay, but I don't necessarily think that he's going to have as big of an impact as Bad Bunny. So in terms of like them taking too much stuff up, I'm like, if the person is worth it and they're really going to generate some sort of attention or revenue, then for sure. Personally, I'm not a fan of Bow Wow, and I feel like he's trying really, really hard in order to get on their radar. Because if you even notice, he even switched like the picture. He even put the WWE logo on there. And okay, I may be being super mean to Bow Wow right now, but the only reason why is because, so a couple weeks ago, I saw on one of those like pop culture websites that I follow that he had a full-blown concert, okay, during COVID. Now, I don't know the details of it, but it was out there. And I saw the clip, the video clip, and there was people without masks partying it up. And I was like, oh no, Bow Wow went on my list of people that I no longer have interest. Well, I never had interest really. So
it's Bow Wow, it's Smash Mouth, and it's Fuzzy.
But he has been giving them good. I will say this much. He has been giving them like a lot of publicity in terms of like, okay, him changing his default, putting the WWE logo. He has 3 million Twitter followers. And then he's been getting like a lot of, like people have been popped us, put 9 rappers who could be WWE superstars articles. Double XL magazine put Bow Wow wants to join the WWE after releasing his last album. So like there, he's retweeting like everything that is WWE related. So in that sense, it's doing well, but he's continuing to like promote the company and whatnot. Now, am I a fan of it? No. I'm gonna be those like, people now, the ones that were like pissed about Bad Bunny. But there's levels, I think. There's levels to celebrities, and the celebrities up here, then by all means, give them attention. But if the celebrity's not to that level, then it's like,
yeah. And I kind of get sort of both sides of the argument, really. Like I kind of look, I kind of go back to, do you remember when The Rock came in for Mania and CM Punk was like pretty pissed about it, because he was like, and it wasn't just Punk that was sort of, you know, quite vocally pissed about it. There were a lot of people who were reportedly quite upset about Rock coming in and taking the main event spot. But like, I mean, Meltzer always used to make the argument, was like, but this is a good thing, because Rock coming in means that there's going to be a bigger buy rate, which means that everyone gets a bigger payout. Like there's a bigger picture thing at the end of this, which is that the product gets hotter. There's more eyes on the product. There's more eyes that can potentially see you. And also you get a lot of money at the end of the day. So I get it from that respect. But I also do get the argument of that, like it's WrestleMania. You want to have your match. You want to have your storyline. You want to have your big moment. And if it's going to be Bad Bunny and it's going to be Bow Wow and it's going to be Cardi B, all of a sudden you're like, I mean, if you're one of those lower mid card guys, if you're like an Angel Garza, your chances of getting on WrestleMania just diminish and diminish and diminish and diminish away, because there are bigger stars being put over you. So I totally get it from that side of thing as well. I'm not saying that I think that Angel Garza is one of the people that's upset. I'm just using him as an example. So I totally get it from both aspects of the argument, of the sort of the side of the fence. And I think from this, maybe like this year's WrestleMania won't be too bad because it's 2 nights. So like there's plenty of chances. I said on the Raw review, there's going to be like 30 matches at Mania this year over across the 2 nights. So there's every chance that people are going to get their spot. But I think if it's like, because it's 3 celebrities, that's when you start to feel like, uh-oh, this now feels like it's more of a celebrity thing. Kind of like the first WrestleMania. This is more of a celebrity thing than it is now a wrestling thing.
I just feel, I mean, I don't know what the situation is, but I see pros in this, you know? I see pros in having people like Bad Bunny there. I see pros in having people like Cardi B there, because she is a big star. And I like Cardi B. She's very funny, actually. But no, she's a big star, too. So having her, like, you know, there would be a big deal as well. And yeah, it does suck for, like, the people that might not make it on. But then you think about it, it's kind of like how many matches the shows are so long, right? When they would do the one day, you'd have like what, like an 8 hour show, I think. And there would be so many people that you're like, oh, we could have done without this match. We could have done without this person, didn't have to be thrown into this. Oh, people were complaining about how there was too many matches and things that people didn't care about. So in turn, you kind of take that out and you incorporate the celebrity aspect. To me, it's kind of good because people didn't want to see, were complaining about that stuff in the past. And now instead they're getting a celebrity thing that could be used for getting mainstream attention. So it's kind of like swapping those things out. And obviously the format's different now because it's two nights, but that's just, I'm trying to see like the bright side of it.
Yeah, totally. And like, as I said, like, I think there's going to be a lot of matches on Mania this year. And like, you go back and you look at last year's WrestleMania, which was also across two nights. And I would wager that most people have forgotten half the matches that happened on those. Like, does anyone remember Bobby Lashley versus Aleister Black? Like, does anyone remember that that match happened? Does anyone remember Baron Corbin and Elias having a 15-minute snore fest? Like, one of the worst matches of the year. So if I've got an option of, do you want Baron Corbin versus Elias, or do you want Cardi B doing a performance that you can just sort of like tune out for a little bit and just chat with mates? I'm going to pick the other one. I'm going to pick Cardi B because I'd much rather that than watch a 15-minute boring match between two wrestlers I've got zero interest in.
That you can watch on Raw, or you already watched on Raw 50,000 times.
I've seen it on Raw. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I totally get, and it's variety as well. Variety is the spice of life. So I think this could be a good thing for WWE. I'm also going to look at this from a glass half full perspective. I think this could be, and as I said, this is the first WrestleMania with fans that we've had in, you know, a year or whatever it is now. It's going to be the Raymond James Stadium. They look into, like, the Super Bowl looked like it was packed out. I know there was, like, you know, cardboard fans alongside it, but it still looked packed out. It still had a bit of, like, it had atmosphere to it. So WWE are going to want to go, like, come out of this out the gate with a bang. Like, this is our first show back and we're excited to put on this first show back. So yeah, I think they're going to want to pull out all the stops for that, and I totally think that's the right move.
I do hope though that now that other celebrities may be seeing how the relationships with certain celebrities and WWE is working, I really hope that we do get some like really good A-lister celebrities down the line, some good performers, because there were some people that I was just like overseeing, or I didn't even know who they were. And I'm thinking like, there are so many other famous singers you could be getting. So I would like to see, you know, I hope that more people start coming out and start seeing like, oh, Cardi B's doing WWE. Well, maybe I should do WWE. Like, we'll see. I think that could be cool.
I totally agree. Right, on to the AEW NXT reviews. Both shows basically took a hit because of the impeachments coverage for former President Donald Trump. So that really had an impact on both shows. AEW dropped about 100,000 viewers to 741, 100,000 on TNT. It's 12.2% down from the previous week. NXT, 558,000 views on the USA Network, was down 8.5% from last week. The combined Wednesday night audience of 1.299 million viewers was the lowest since May of last year. So, like, I think that fact there probably shows you just how much of an impact the news coverage had on both Dynamite and NXT, which is a shame because both shows were very, very good.
They were. NXT incorporated a lot of different stuff into their show this yesterday. So I liked all of the matches that they had. My favorite segments were, obviously, everybody was talking about the Cameron Grimes thing because it was really funny. I liked the whole Johnny Gargano, William Regal exchange. I liked most of the matches that they had. And with AEW, I loved the main event. I loved the Matt Hardy Hangman Page storyline. I love where that's going. I actually loved everything that they did with Sammy leaving the Inner Circle. I thought that was really good. So there was a lot of newsworthy things to talk about. Oh, and then the whole thing with Darby, you know, getting dragged out, you know, in a body bag. That was pretty cool too. So I thought that both shows, they really put their best foot forward, I would say.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, it's Luke Owen here from the WrestleTalk podcast, just letting you know that the video versions of the WrestleTalk podcast is now on a new and exclusive home. If you've been watching the WrestleTalk podcast video version for the last 4 years, you'll have known it was on WrestleTalk, but because of YouTube algorithms and uploads and blah, blah, views, etc., etc., we've been instructed by some very, very smart, intelligent algorithm boffins that our uploads are kind of like they're butchering some of the plays. So what we've done is we've now moved the WrestleTalk podcast off of WrestleTalk and are putting it on an exclusive YouTube home, WrestleTalk podcast. Nothing else is changing. You're still going to get your pay-per-view reviews, Raw, AEW, SmackDown, the magazine show with myself and Denise. If you do watch the video version of these podcasts, by the time Elimination Chamber rolls around, it will only be available to find on the WrestleTalk podcast channel. Don't go to WrestleTalk, you'll only find the WrestleTalk news there. WrestleTalk podcast channel. But if you just search WrestleTalk podcast, you should still be able to find it. That's all from me. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy the rest of the show. Right, let's get into your Patreon mailbag questions. If you've got a question for the mailbag, if you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers on Patreon at any dollar amount. Leave a comment in the community tab and we will answer them on this show. Label it mailbag. Do not email me. I will just lose it. Bad at my job. Right, let's kick things off with MK3, who asks, is Cody bad for AEW putting himself over constantly?
I wouldn't say that. No, I think that Cody has been doing a pretty good job at especially the matches that he's been working in. He tends to work a lot with a lot of the younger guys. So I think that I think he's actually been doing a pretty good job at that. And obviously he's going to be getting over, but I don't see an issue in that because he did make the TNT championship, you know, start, gave it more value, you know, from the start. So I've liked all of the feuds that he's been in. So I wouldn't say that.
No, I mean, I would completely disagree with that statement. Like, and I think it's unfortunate as well, because MK3 left that question, obviously, before this week's Dynamite, where this week's Dynamite was Cody in a tag match, where the whole purpose of that tag match was to put over the younger Lee Johnson.
Even though it was a terrible match.
Well,
I didn't like it.
Yeah. So, like, I think it's unfortunate timing on that one. But I think, like, I look at the feud he had with Darby. Like, when he had that first match with Darby at whether it was Fighter Fest or the Fight for the Fallen, where they had the time limit draw, like, that match there was designed, A, to put Darby on the map and be like, Darby is a guy we're going to put a lot of stock into. And that match there essentially spun into a 18-month-long feud where the payoff to that was Darby beating Cody and winning the title. And that 18-month-long story made Darby feel so big time. And that win and getting that TNT title was a big, big moment for him. And that all stems from the fact that Cody spent a year and a half making him look awesome.
And now he's in cahoots with Sting. And if he didn't have that prior, if they would have just put him in there with Sting, people would have been like, all right, okay, just because they have the same vibe, the same style. No, but now there's some credibility, obviously, to Darby Allin as champion, having worked with Cody, etc.
Dwayne the Gronk Johnson says, non-wrestling question for this week. What's your favorite theme song to a TV show? For me, it's California by the OC. Now, Dwayne, I may get some heat for this, but I hate that song. Like, I never watched the OC.
Oh, the OC. Oh,
California. I hated it so much. I didn't watch the OC, but I had friends that watched the OC. And if you were like at their house and they were like, California, it really, oh, it grates on me.
I can feel you. So what's your favorite?
It feels like it's a lame answer because I mention it a lot, but dude, I love the theme song for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I think it's so good.
Where does it go?
It's just music, but it's just like do 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 do. It's brilliant. It's like it's my kind of music and stuff. It's not a popular opinion because like Joss Whedon's in the news for not good stuff at the moment. It's the song that instantly jumped to my mind. Also, got to have a lot of love for Friends. Because who doesn't love so yeah
I
Friends
like the Friends song but it's I don't think it's the best though. Skipped it all the time when you skip the intro. I used to skip the Friends song all the time.
So what's your favorite then?
Okay, so mine is actually, have you ever watched Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
I have not actually, no.
Okay, so season one, I forget how the song really goes, but it goes like, Unbreakable, they alive, damn it, it's a miracle, something like that, whatever. I freaking love that song. It's like just a couple of seconds, but it threw me over a wall. That's how much I liked it. So I like that one, and I love the Sex and the City song. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Da-na-na-na-na-na. When I was at WrestleMania in New York, I swear to God, the entire time I was like, like I'd be walking and I would tell my fiance, I was like, look, I'm Carrie Bradshaw, and I'd be walking like, dun, 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 dun. It was my dream come true, Luke. Like just crossing every time I cross the street in New York, because you've seen the intro, right, to Sex and the City.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Carrie's walking and like she gets she's walking on the street feeling all fabulous, but she gets splashed on and all of this. So that's what I was trying to replicate. I was trying to be Carrie Bradshaw, like walking and feeling it. So those two would be my favorite.
I think those are pretty good shouts. I love the Friends theme. I also love the theme song for New Girl. I mean, it's only like 2 seconds because it's basically just, who's that girl? It's Jess. And that might just be because I love Zooey Deschanel and I love her singing voice. So
and you and love
I,
her bangs.
And I love her bangs, obviously. But like me and my wife, my wife and I have this thing where like if we really enjoy a theme song for a show, we put our own little dance to it. So, or like we'll have our own little actions that we do like during a song. So like Buffy, we both do sort of air drumming and stuff like that, or like or headbanging. My wife can't headbang on it because it gives her a headache. So she has this face like, no, we don't want to headbang, which is very cute. But like, you know, do you ever watch Parks and Recreation?
No.
I love Parks and Recreation, but like my wife does this little like what she calls a little hip hop dance to the song. She's like dun 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 dun.
God, so we have, like, this little, you guys like... watching TV.
We also try and like do the theme. If a show doesn't have lyrics, is to try and get the show name into the lyric, into like the beat of the song. We used to do it for House of Cards and Daredevil.
If it doesn't have lyrics, you make the lyrics for it. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So you try and get it's like Parks and Rec, 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 Parks and Rec. So yeah, it's a very silly thing. Anyway, Lawrence says, in your opinion, is the flea, the Bliss Fiend thing working? Personally, I hate it. It's Bliss doing Wyatt's moves, a copy of a copy. As Asuka's biggest fan, I recognize that I'm biased, but WWE did choose to sacrifice their champion for it. Do you think the WWE thinks this works? How would you guess they judge it? I know there's no way for you guys to actually know that. I'm just curious to know what you think. It's kind of like what we were talking about earlier. I think it all based down to those YouTube viewing figures, like, and you know, if those, I know some people like whenever we mention the YouTube figures go like, well, that's just the casual audience, but that's a good thing, right? That's what WWE want to get, is just, it's not just the hardcore fans, they want to get the casual audience in.
So when you, okay, so obviously you and I, we watch on cable, we watch Raw, whatever. So when you watch something on Raw or SmackDown or NXT, do you ever go back and rewatch it on YouTube?
Only if it's something like, because it'd be like times. So for example, like with AEW this week, I didn't see the QT Marshall thing, like during Lee Johnson's promo. I didn't spot that. And I also didn't spot Hangman Page swapping out the contracts. With the Matt Hardy segment. So I'll go back and I'll rewatch those things because someone will mention me on Twitter, did you spot this? And I'll be like, no, I didn't. So I go back and rewatch it. But apart from that, no, once I've watched the show, I'm pretty much done.
Right? Okay, because I've never watched a YouTube video that of something that I already saw on Raw or SmackDown. So it makes me wonder how many of those people didn't watch the show and they're really just watching the clips, or how many people watch the show and rewatch the clips. Like, it's very, I'm very curious as to how many of those people actually do that. I've never, like I've said, I've never gone back and watched something. I mean, not even the Edge thing. No, like even the Edge return, I was like, saw it, good, I'm good. And then you see everything on Twitter like a zillion times. So you don't even really have to go on YouTube to watch it.
I would probably wager that maybe it's both camps, because there are definitely people like we get people tell us this every single week that I only watch Raw via the clips on YouTube. Like they come into our stream and they'd be like, I don't watch the full show, I just watch the clips, and then I watch your guys' review to get like the full story of what happened on the show. So I think there's definitely those people. I also think there's people who watch the show but then want to talk about it. So like if they really enjoyed this Bliss Fiend stuff, they want to go onto YouTube and they want to like, you know, join the conversations. They can leave their comments and say like, here's my thoughts on this. Or if they don't like it, they want to go onto YouTube and be like, I don't like this. I would wager that a lot of people who saw the Nia Jax My Whole thing from Raw this week wanted to go to YouTube, A, to rewatch it, but also B, so they could put in their joke about Nia Jax's My Whole. So I think there was definitely there's definitely both sides of that camp. Marcus Sol Campbell, this might not be a question for you knowing your taste. What sci-fi show do you think is underrated? For me, Farscape is extremely underrated.
Oh, I don't know. Well, I'll just name the only like, you know what? I have seen a couple of sci-fi shows.
Yeah.
I watched The 100. That would be considered sci-fi. I watched the zombie girl one. iZombie. Yes, iZombie. Mm-hmm. I watched that. I watched Lost. Does that count as sci-fi? I think it does count as sci-fi.
Yes. There's like time travel and stuff, isn't there?
Yeah, that counts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure there's been a couple of other ones. So I don't know if they're underrated, though. That I don't know. I'm just going to say the 100 because that's my only answer. I got to go back to my Netflix queue. It's all in there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to agree with Marcus Campbell. Like, I think Farscape is a bit underrated. It was kind of like dogged on at the time when it came out. Probably rightly so at times like that. It's kind of like Stargate. Like, Stargate got dogged on a little bit when it first came out as well. Like, so one of my favorite TV shows ever is Spaced. And there's a moment on that which me and my friends used to quote a lot. And I can't really say it on this show. Actually, maybe I can say it and I'll just make my edit point so I can do the edit swear. But it's like he's trying to get fired from his job at a comic book shop. And he's like, well, how are you just going to get fired? He goes, oh, I know. Babylon 5 is a big pile of shit. And the guy who always goes, get out. And he's like, yay, I got fired. So like Babylon 5 is another show that I think a lot of people are just like, yeah, Babylon 5 is not very good. I thought it was all right, to be honest. I didn't mind Babylon 5.
I never saw Babylon 5. Yeah, we're living. Like, we watched two totally. It gets weird. There's certain things that I feel like you and I watch and we have in common, and then we have like a total different world that like you haven't tapped into and I haven't tapped into.
There is a show that I'm following this Twitter account that's reposting clips from it, and I've been actually retweeting it because I'm enjoying it so much. There was a comedy show in like the early 2002 in the UK called Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. And the gimmick of the show was that it's this writer called Garth Marenghi who wrote this TV show called Dark Place in the 1980s, and they made it in the 1980s, but then Channel 4 wouldn't air it because it was too edgy and it was too violent, it was too forward thinking. So they banned it, and it only got shown out in Peru. So, but now, like years later, they've unearthed it and Channel 4 have now allowed to show this. So it's a show that was made in the early 2000s, but made to look like it was made in the 1980s on a shoestring budget. And it's so funny. It's
why
one of
it
my
banned, I though
No, it wasn't banned. Like, that's the joke of the show, is that it's a fake thing that they banned. So it's a fake show, but it's also now got, there's like a DVD commentary style thing where they're providing, like, you know, interviews 20 years later of them being like, here's why this show was banned, here's why this show was so forward thinking. And it's, dude, it's so, so good. I'll send you some clips because I'm so curious to know your take on it.
Really?
My wife watched it and was like, I don't get it. Like, this is not for me. But I watched it and I was like, oh, this is the funniest show I've ever seen. So I'm very curious to know what you would make of Dark Place.
Remember we were talking about WandaVision? Were we talking about it on the podcast or off air?
It was on the outro portion of the podcast.
We talked about it somewhere. All right. Mm-hmm. I watched WandaVision this weekend. I watched the first episode.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was okay, and I didn't watch the next episode.
Well, okay, Denise, Ava. Here is the thing. Dude, okay, right. So I was talking to Social Media Abby about this, our social media manager. You've got to stick with it. And it's only like...
When does it get good?
Well, no, I mean, it gets good from the very get-go because Elizabeth Olsen is so tremendous, as is
Paul Bettany. Yeah, she's good, but we got so bored in episode two,
Right. Well, here's the thing, Denise. It's to set you up, because episode two then starts having some, like, oh, here's a little bit of intrigue about this. But come episode three, that's when things really start to turn. And when you get to episode four, the show really kicks into gear. Like, Ollie has made, and I've seen both sides of the argument with this. Ollie sold me that he thinks that the episode four should have happened to episode two. Like, you really should have moved that forward.
But is it gonna be a show that makes me think, like, really hard? I don't like kinds of shows.
It's not really
I like to be just staring at my TV very dumbly.
But my wife and I, when we were watching episode four, we both looked at each other and was like, oh, I could have actually had this at episode six. I could have really, like, dragged this out even further. So, like, I think that I can see both sides of that. So stick with it. Give it another shot.
Because I'm telling you, so I was watching it. Okay. My fiance was trying to get me to watch Saved by the Bell. I can't get into it. I laughed.
The original?
Yeah, the original. Yeah, I can't get into it.
I'm sure it was funny in the 90s when I was like a kid, but I don't think I'd watch it now and be like, this holds up. I don't think it's a show that would hold up.
I don't know. Well, he was trying to get me to watch it. So we gave up and I was like, let's watch WandaVision because everybody's talking about it. So we started watching WandaVision. And after episode one, I was like, okay, this is good. Oh, let's move on to the next episode. Then episode two started and I was like, oh God, I'm so bored. And he was like, I'm not feeling it. So we got out of that. And then I started watching Pippi Longstocking.
Which actually surprises me as well. I mean, we've gone way off topic here. We'll root back to wrestling in just a second. But, like, I'm really surprised by that because it's, you love I Love Lucy.
I'm still watching it.
And, like, it's ebbing all of those, like, 50s and 60s sitcom tropes. Of anyone, I thought, do you know what, Disney? I thought, do you know what? Denise is going to love this from, like, just the very, like, core concept of it. I think Disney will enjoy this. I'm surprised, man.
I gave a couple ha-has, but I was like, can we change the channel? I'm really bored.
Oh, man. Maybe stick with it. Or don't. It's up to you. RLT Sandwich says, Billy Kate is doing a gimmick where she's trying to find a partner. Lacey is clearly on her own with Charlotte Flair, so that leaves Peyton Royce without a tag partner. WWE has to accidentally stumble on a reunion of the Iconics, right? There was a nice tease during the Rumble, but if they both need a tag partner, why not each other? I know they're on separate shows, but when's that stopped them before?
So I'm going to say no. Oh, wait, sorry, I don't want to cut you off. I'm going to say
no. You go.
Because I talked to Peyton Royce, and she basically told me, like, this is my time to find out who I am on my own. Like, what am I made of? Like, what opportunities can I get out of this? And she talked about how things are going really great for Billie Kay, because obviously Billie Kay is being showcased so much more than Peyton Royce. And she was talking to me about how she wanted to have that for her. And so I thought, obviously, you don't want to always just go your whole life being, you know, part of with somebody else and then wondering what you could have been on your own. And now she's having that opportunity and she's hoping that obviously things get better, because she was saying how she doesn't feel she hasn't necessarily had that it moment to really impress people, really show people who she can be. So I almost feel like it's too soon for I like the tease that they did at the Royal Rumble with the Iconics, but I think that it's too soon for them to do like a full-on reunion, because we're starting to just get Billie Kay, you know, doing more and more of her comedic stuff on SmackDown. And now Peyton Royce, unfortunately, we haven't seen her do much, but I hope that eventually she will, because I would like to see what she can be as a single star.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Like, I think splitting up the Iconics was probably the wrong move from the get-go. Like, I thought a much better story to have done this. If you're going to split the Iconics, is then just have Billy Kay, like, they kind of, they get around it by Billy Kay saying, like, oh, no, we're not a team. I'm just her manager. I'm just her business associate or something like that. And make sort of a joke about it. So you can keep the act together, but they're no longer a tag team. But I think you're right. Like, I would like to see Peyton Royce get that singles push because she has really got something. And it kind of irks me, like, that WWE seemed to like start to do something with Peyton Royce and then just really like just pull the rug and just stop it. I mean, we've seen start stop pushes from WWE for decades at this point, but like, you know, she pinned Bayley at Survivor Series. And I remember when she pins Bayley at Survivor Series, we had so many people say to us, like, this is the moment. This is now the start. WWE clearly love Peyton Royce and they're giving her this big push. And what's she done since Survivor Series? Like, she's not even in this tag team with Lacey Evans, I don't think, anymore. So like it, yeah. And it kind of irks me that there's no direction for her, and that kind of bugs me because I think there should be.
Oh yeah, 100%. I think that they could do something with her, but it just feels like right now she just hasn't really gotten the opportunity. I don't know if or when, and it's weird because that's who everybody was saying that Vince was really hot on, and everybody thought that Billy Kay was going to be forgotten about. But I think they heard the social media public outroar of people wanting to see Billy, and she just kept whatever things they gave her, she kept knocking it out of the park. So I'm sure they saw that and kept, you know, giving her more. And unfortunately, there hasn't been that much support, I think, from the social media world to Peyton to want to see her more. So I feel like once the people actually get to see more of her on her own, I think hopefully there'll be more of that.
Yeah,
people wanting to see it.
Callum says, I don't know if this is more of a question for Denise, but what's your favorite How I Met Your Mother episode? Mine is Blitzgiving. Also, what's your opinion on the finale? I just watched it for the first time, and man, they sure messed that up.
Oh my God. Okay, so I don't think I have a... You never watched How I Met Your Mother, did you?
No, which is weird, because I love Jason Segel, and I love Allison Hannigan, and I love Doogie Howser. So you'd imagine that I'd be really into watching the show. And I love Maria Hill. So you'd think, like, those four stars, I'd probably really enjoy it. But I've never watched it.
You're missing out. It's a really good show. I love it. The ending is... Okay, so the first time I watched it, I hated the ending. I hated it so much. The second time I rewatched the show, I didn't hate it as much. Now, I don't know what my favorite episode is because I think I have more of, like, favorite moments. And I just, like, there's just so many. Like, there's the part where Robin, where she just goes, "What's in the box? What's in the box? What's in the box?" And then she goes, "All right, yeah, I'm the ass." Sorry, edit point, Luke, edit point. All right, there's just the part where she says that, and it kills me every time. There's also a part where Robin is trying to get a job. And I forgot, I think at that worldwide news station, because she's a reporter, right? And she ends up getting, like, the job that she doesn't want, and she kind of can't decide whether or not to get the job. And there's this part where you're listening to her mind, and she goes, like, "Oh, you know, that job sounds hard, and I'm, like, really pretty. I'm not going to take that job." And it was just that one thing. Oh, it killed me. It killed me. There's a bunch of, like, really good moments in that show. So many.
Maybe that's what me and my wife will start next, because we can, like, our lunch breaks, we tend to just throw on, like, you know, a US sitcom or something like that. Like, it was Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Currently it's New Girl. Maybe once New Girl is finished, we'll try How I Met Your Mother. And, like, my wife likes it. So yeah. So maybe that's the next one we'll try.
I need to hear your thoughts on everything How I Met Your Mother.
I mean, to be quite blunt on this, it's not going to be for a while, because we're only on season four of New Girl, and there's, like, eight seasons of
but
that sucker.
So,
like,
New Girl already, haven't you?
I haven't. I'm not. This is my first time seeing it.
I was going to say, quit watching New Girl and go watch How I Met Your Mother.
I need to know what happens to Schmidt. Moyne says, since Seth Rollins returning to SmackDown this week, who do you think are some potential people he could recruit? Even though I prefer Daniel Bryan on his own, I think now is the perfect opportunity to him for him to join Seth because of his current losing streak. Rather than low mid-carders, a star like Daniel Bryan would really solidify Seth's character, and they could go on a great run together. Feud against Roman Reigns and Jey Uso would be amazing, even though it's heel versus heel. I think these guys are talented enough to make it work. What are your thoughts?
I feel like they don't really need each other, though. They're so big on their own. I wouldn't necessarily go with Seth Rollins. I would actually go with Chad Gable.
that's an interesting, more like tearing him away from Otis.
And... yeah, or not, maybe not. I don't know if he has to tear him away, but if he's going to be doing something like that, I think it'd be kind of, I don't know. He's just the first thing that popped in my head for that.
I mean, I'm going to disagree slightly with kind of like, not just Moyne's setup, but I'd like to see Seth do something different than like still doing the Messiah gimmick, but not just recruiting people, because I just feel like it's just going to come across as an interpretation of what he'd done previously. Like, I think it's just always going to be compared to, oh, that was just what, like,
imagine. Wait, hold on. So we're getting Seth Rollins recruiting people?
Oh, I answered the question wrong.
Never mind.
I answered the question we were talking about.
Who did you think we were talking about? I thought he was saying hypothetically getting Daniel Bryan to recruit people to be with him.
No, Seth Rollins to recruit Daniel Bryan into his Messiah gimmick.
Okay, see, I heard it backwards. I'm sorry. No wonder you were like, no, not Chad Gable. And I was like, well, why not? I think him and all right, that was a complete botch on my end. I'm sorry.
Oh, Denise.
Poor listening skills. Yeah, Chad Gable and Seth Rollins, not so much. No wonder, because I was like, wait. And then when I started hearing your answer, I thought, okay, I definitely heard the question wrong and I answered the question wrong.
Yeah. So like, I would, like, for example, if you'd have broken up the Shield, right? And then like the very next week, or like a couple of months later, like Seth Rollins just comes out with two new guys and is like, it's the Shield. Like, I'd have been like, well, no, that's just a rubbish version of the Shield. I'd like to see Seth do something different with the Messiah gimmick now that he doesn't have any disciples behind him, rather than just recruit some more disciples. Having said that, if you were going to have some more disciples, him and Daniel Bryan seems like a fun pairing. So I think there could be, I mean, there's certainly something in that.
So first of all, I cannot move on from my humiliation. I feel very humiliated right now. But secondly, I almost don't want to see him as the Messiah again. I don't have like an idea as to what he should do, but I'm not really, I think it's because I didn't like everything that they were doing before with him as the Messiah and the disciple and the eye for an eye and all of this Buddy Murphy stuff, all of that. I wasn't necessarily crazy about it. So it kind of soured me on the character as a whole. So either they got to do something really interesting with him coming back as the Messiah, or they just got to come up with something totally new.
He also adds, have you guys ever watched Supernatural? If so, do you have any thoughts on it?
I have not seen it.
My wife did watch it, and I think she liked the first couple of seasons of it. And then she said, oh, no, it just became the same show every single season. Mm-hmm. It was just like, it was just something different. Like, what's the new end of the world thing? And I'm like, when I watched it, like, I've seen a couple of episodes, and I think my reaction was like, huh, it's a poor man's Buffy. It's just not
a
as good.
Poor man's Buffy.
which is, you know, also is what Angel was. Jonathan Hedman says, good appropriate time of day, Team Danuk. In your opinion, what's the riskiest decision you could take? Buying a car on Craigslist with no title. Can you top that?
Wait, say buying what on Craigslist?
Buying a car on Craigslist with no title. A car.
Oh, a car. Is it risky? I would say so.
I don't know if I get the question, to be honest.
I'm glad I'm not the only one messing up the questions. I don't know if
Craigslist a big thing in the UK. Like, I know it is in the States because I know I've seen stand-up routines about it, but I know we have it here, but I don't think it's like, a lot of people don't really talk about Craigslist here in the UK.
I don't know. I mean, people talk about it here. I used to get like 70% of my work on Craigslist before. Like pre-COVID. Wow. Oh yeah. I landed some stuff via Craigslist. I mean, it was kind of sketchy like in the beginning, but I became an expert at reading Craigslist ads. So that's how that happened. But I just feel you got to be really careful with Craigslist. I almost feel like you can go a different route instead of buying a car with no title on Craigslist.
Now, this is going to be way off topic here, but I do very much adore how you Americans say Craig. Which is just Craig.
Is it wrong? Like you, what did I say?
No,
Craig?
Well, yeah. I think Americans say Craig, which is C-R-A-I-G, Craig. You say Craig, like C-R-E-G.
Craig.
Yeah.
I've never known a Craig or a Craig in my life, so dude, I have no idea.
The first time I noticed it was watching South Park back in the day, because one of my friends at school was called Craig, right? And then there's a kid on South Park that's called Craig, but they kept calling him Craig. And I was like, what name? What kind of name is Craig? Like, that's not a name. And then it was, and then until I like read some scripts, I was like, oh, it's Craig. Man, Americans say that really bizarrely.
Okay, so Craig. All right, so it's supposed to be Craig, but we say Craig.
Yeah, like I mean, I don't know if it's supposed to be. I'm just coming from a British Craig side of things, where it's like Craigslist.
Craigslist. Hey, Craig. I'm trying to think about how I would do it in natural life. Look, I've discovered that I say a lot of things wrong. So at this point, I would not be surprised.
It's a countrywide thing. Don't worry yourself. Duncan J says, Luke, you should try and get Denise to say some English town names to see how she gets on. And my question is, with the success of Bad Bunny, what celebrity would you like to see in ring next, male or female? You cannot say Taylor Swift. That's their instruction.
Oh, they put that in there?
Yeah, that was their caveat, not mine.
Savage. All right, I would say then, I would like to see Billy. I like Billy. Although I don't think she'd ever do it, but I think she's too, like,
isn't she like too sad to like, she's like, you want someone who's like just sad, upbeat and happiness?
Wait, are we talking like in the ring or performing?
Like performing, like she feels like, I don't know, I've not really heard many Billie Eilish songs
apart from used like her song.
Oh, sorry, I think you're talking about Billie Eilish.
I am talking about Billie Eilish. They used her song.
Did they?
Yeah, they used "You Should See Me in a Crown."
Oh right, I thought I can think of. Like, but is that an upbeat song? Is that you would call that an upbeat track?
Her songs are like they're like, I can't describe it. They're like moody and upbeat and cool and they're brilliant. Like, I swear to God, she's fantastic. I love Billy.
Just because I think he looks...
stuff. Like just because he looks like a little... Okay, wait. What were you trying to say? I'm just cutting you off.
I was going to say, like, because, like, I don't know many sort of, like, current-day celebrities because I'm massively out of touch. All I can think of is, like, who would I like to see? Well, do you know what? I love Rob Zombie. Rob Zombie sounds like a wrestler anyway, so I'm going to say Rob Zombie.
Even still, like...
Dude, oh, don't like, you doing? Dare. Don't you I don't know dare what he's doing. Bad.
I was going to say anything bad about Rob Zombie. I just don't know what he's up to these days.
I think Rob Zombie's got an album coming out this year.
Oh, okay, there you go. You know, I went to his horror maze a couple of years back.
Oh my God, I'm so jealous of that.
They had me
so
crawl in the maze.
Oh, man.
Terrifying.
I've seen Rob Zombie live quite a few times, and it's one of my favorite live shows to go to because I love Rob Zombie. Dude is so, so great. Hellbilly Deluxe is a fantastic, like, that's a flawless album from start to end. It's so banger after you banger.
Only listen to rock music, like rock, that, whatever, like that all you listen to.
I wouldn't say like exclusively. That is my genre of music. Like, I grew up listening to a lot of metal, so I was a massive, like, in my teenage years, I was massively into Korn, Deftones, who else was I massively into? Slipknot, Rob Zombie, White Zombie, so like a Slayer. So like that's kind of like, that's my music I tend to gravitate towards. But I'm also like, at the moment, my current playlist I've got on Spotify is I've created an album called 90s Classiques, which is basically like indie tracks from the 90s, like my sort of favorite like alternative 90s hits and stuff. So that's kind of that's really what I'm gravitating towards at the moment, are these sort of 90s songs that I really, really like.
I need to make you a Denise playlist where I'm gonna put like the songs that made me and I want to see how you feel about them. Like, how would you feel listening to Hillary Duff?
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I'll give it a go.
To Avril Lavigne and somebody like that.
So Avril Lavigne, when Complicated came out, which is what I thought was a really, really great song. And my brother, off the back of that, bought the album and then was like, he listened to it and he came into my room and was like, oh no, she's a teeny bopper. I didn't realize she was a teeny bopper.
Look, teeny bopper is my specialty, man. Like, that's my specialty.
And I was like, oh no, is she really? I thought she was going to be someone cool. And then he was like, no, she's a teeny bopper. I've just got on the album. It's quite bad.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I have no words. Avril Lavigne is a genius. All right. When it comes to like, I don't even know what to say. I'm speechless. All right. But I'm going to make you a playlist of songs that I think would brighten up your life. And let's see how you feel about it. I'm going to make the Denise Salcedo Luke Owen playlist.
I like this. And I will send you across my 90s classics.
Although I do, I do listen to like 90s rock alternative music. Like I like Third Eye I like Third Eye Blind. I like The Offspring. I like the, those types of bands, The Cure.
Well, these are a lot more British. These are a lot of British acts in here. So maybe I can send you across this and see. I mean, obviously, there's a couple of like American, like Sheryl Crow's on the playlist because you're not going to have a playlist without some Sheryl Crow in it. Come
you know
on
one
now.
Sheryl Crow song. If it makes you happy, then why the hell are you so sad?
Dude, Sheryl Crow is my jam. Yeah, I'll send you
opposite,
I'll send
you, Luke. We're so I'm opposite.
I'm gonna send you some metal as well. Get you.
All right, I'm gonna make you a playlist on Spotify. That's gonna be my next task.
That's my next task. If I get a free hour today, I'm gonna make you a track. I'm gonna make you a track list on Spotify. I'm gonna get some.
All right, wait. Can we pick a number? Like, yeah, what's the number? Like, how many tracks?
Let's say 15 tracks.
15 that's an album tracks.
Length. That's an album length. So you're making. So we're gonna Denise. We're making each other mixtapes.
Oh, we are. Okay. And then like we have to figure out how we're gonna do it. We'll come on here and we'll talk about it on the podcast or something.
Yeah, we'll do an instant culture.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. We're gonna do it. Yeah. And then here's the thing though, is that I have a mood for you. I'm gonna set the mood. It's gonna be like happy. You're gonna feel so happy afterwards.
Okay, right. I like this, a mood. All right, cool. Well, we've got a couple more questions we need to do here. Max McKenzie says, do you prefer the term cruiserweight or junior heavyweight? I always thought cruiserweight sounded sleek and fast, while junior heavyweight sounds like a little brother division.
Little brother division? I don't mind it. Honestly, I could do either, but I like the little brother division.
Imagine, I like little brother division.
Just call it the little brother division.
Personally, for me, I like junior heavyweight. Because it, you know, it kind of still sounds like you're in that heavyweight division. Cruiserweight sounds like it's quite cool in Squares League. I prefer cruiserweight to light heavyweight because that just sounds dumb. Like, it's just.
I got it. My new YouTube idea. It's right here.
Hold on. Luke and Denise
react to each other's music playlist. Oh,
I was going to say, dude, I cannot read your handwriting.
It's terrible, huh?
I mean, dude, I thought mine was bad. Holy, look at it. Look at the state of that. If I was to read this.
It says Luke and Denise react to each other's music playlist.
No,
this
it
is
does
my
not.
Next YouTube that, video.
No, it doesn't. It says Lou or Lahu and Denny neat to touch of tier.
Otters. My writing is not that bad.
Oh man, I mean, we'll let the comments decide, but I think it is.
Well, you know what, this is the next video, so I already have the title. This is how I come up with ideas. I come up with the title first and I could shape the video afterwards.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm so excited.
Misha, thank you very much. He mentioned about the Jaffa Cakes thing, and we had a lot of tweets about this as well. People saying like it is definitely it's a bit of the VAT thing and this, that, and the other. But as I kept saying to Adam Pearson when he was sending me the same messages, yeah, but is it a biscuit or is it a cake? Because some people have different things. Some people say they go soft when they go stale. Therefore, you know, it's I don't. The VAT thing is the least interesting thing about the war on if a Jaffa Cake is a biscuit or a cake.
It's a cake.
There you go. We
have and I didn't mention definitely. That in the video, so that's why I'm mentioning it here. It's a cake. No ands, okay, ifs, right. Or buts.
Wesley 65 says, good insert appropriate time zone identifier here, team Denise. I have a very important question here for both of you, but mostly Denise. With the upcoming Wrestle Jamia and the championship being up for grabs, not on night one, but also two nights, I think there needs to be an important question asked. When is Denise going to get her championship opportunity? Surely WrestleTalk can see that she is best for business to have the hardest working person in sports infotainment to be a contender, if not the champion. With the title finally being freed from Mr. Davis' ironclad grip, perhaps it's time for more fresh blood to take their rightful place as champion. Or at the very least, we need more jam pay-per-views because the Royal Rumble was some of the most fun I've had in quite a while. I really enjoyed the Rumble as well.
Yes. Answers to all of that, yes. I want to be the champion. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, the jam that champion.
Jam that champion. Champion.
Yeah. It's the most prestigious belt in all of wrestling YouTube.
I need the championship.
Well, I would like you to contend for it as well. You were going to be in the Royal Rumble, but unfortunately, timelines just did not line up. So you couldn't be a Rumble entrant.
How sad. I like how you said that. Timelines did not line up, Denise Salcedo. You said no to us.
I was trying to be polite here. I was trying to tell the
people,
Luke,
you don't lie to the people. I asked Denise Salcedo, and Denise Salcedo said no. I had my reasons.
I was trying to kayfabe it to be like, yeah, Denise was going to be in the Rumble, but actually the truth is I DM'd her and she was like, no, don't really fancy that.
No, honestly though, like for me, it's hard to do. Like I did one pre-show watch along from Mat Men, but I did the pre-show match. I specifically said I'm going to do the tag team match because I really want to pay attention to the important matches. When I do watch alongs, I get completely distracted. So that's why I said no. And I told you, like, I got to take my notes. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to tweet, blah, 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 et cetera. So I didn't lie, but I did say no. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, I don't feel terrible. It's fine. That's why I said, like, I don't take notes while I'm watching the show. I just rely on Ollie's notes the day after. I just read through his notes again. And I just like, I've got a note taker. I have my own personal note taker. His name is Ollie Davis. Thank you to Jack Strang, who suggested in, based on last week where you saying Herefordshire when trying to say Hereford, and Quavers, about like some Scottish slang for you to learn. So I is yes, just going I. So it's yes.
I. Yeah. I watch pirate movies. I.
Jobby is poop.
Jobby is poop. Shut up. So now it's like when you say, oh, he's jobbing, it kind of sounds like he's pooping. It's a jobby, right? With like
a jobby, yeah.
Jobby.
Ending with a Y. With a Y,
ending
yeah.
With so a Y. Like,
oh, yeah, it's a bit jobby that.
So how would I say I have to go poop in jobby?
Well, I'm going to go take a jobby.
I have to go take a jobby.
Yeah.
I don't know how to use it in a sentence. All right, I'm going to start doing it jobby poop. I'm going to remember this. I'm just going to tell my fiance, like, I need a jobby. He's going to be like, what?
Another good one is an Eartha Kitt. It's one of my favorites. I'm going to go Eartha take an Eartha Kitt. No, and like, you know the TV star Eartha Kitt?
No.
Oh, she was in Batman 66. She was one of the Catwoman. But yeah, I'm just going to go take an Eartha Kitt.
No.
Anyway, it sounds like a different word. Alex Kirkman says, did you know that former WrestleTalk TV host Ben Spindler has a podcast out there called Random Wrestling Review Podcast, where they review random wrestling pay-per-views? It's extremely good. You should have a listen and get the guy on Quizzlemania. That is a good shout-out. I haven't spoken to Ben in quite some time, so thank you for that, because I did not know he had a podcast out. Philip O'Reilly says, just want to wish happy Valentine's Day to the cool Luke Owen and the BEA userful Denise. What are your plans for your partners on Valentine's Day? And no, watching NXT Vengeance doesn't count. I mean, I'll spoil it. Philip, I would never be watching a wrestling pay-per-view on Valentine's Day because my wife does not like watching them, because my wife wants to kind of get into wrestling and enjoy it, but she cannot stand the way that wrestling is produced. Like, she works in TV, right? And like, she watched, I showed her the Ronda Rousey debut a couple of years ago, because I was like, oh, look at this, it was like Ronda Rousey debut, and she's like, I cannot watch WWE's production, it's so awful. It's just really poorly put together. And that turns her off from the product. She cannot watch it.
I have a lot of questions. So your wife doesn't watch any wrestling, or just not WWE?
She doesn't watch any wrestling at all. It's not for her.
So wait, hold on. When you're watching the Royal Rumble or some big pay-per-view like that, she doesn't watch it?
No, she's asleep. She's like, it's also 1 a.m. So she's in bed.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. But even so, like, if there's a show on and, you know, it's at a time when she's awake, she won't be watching it with me. She will just go into and do something else.
Okay. Does she follow like the stories, like the news? Does she know like of the people? Like, do you talk about the news? Like, what's going on in the wrestling world?
Because she is, I mean, the best person on the planet, and she is my best friend, and she is like the absolute salty death and one of the best people to ever have lived. She used to listen to the WrestleTalk podcast because she was supporting me, and she liked listening to me and Ollie chat about stuff because, like, you know, we're all friends. So she's like, she would listen to the podcast, and through the podcast, she would pick up on things, and so she would know wrestlers' names, and she would know storylines. But since she's not commuting anymore, she doesn't listen to the podcast, so she has no idea what's going on anymore.
Oh my God, that's insane. I can't imagine it. I cannot imagine it, because it's kind of like, it's, I mean, I'm not going to say it's your whole life, but it's a big chunk of your life, right? It's your job too. Yeah. So that's crazy. So what are you guys doing for Valentine's Day?
We haven't really got much planned. Like, we were going to do one of those make-away things where, like, your restaurant sends you, like, a box meal thing and you just cook it at home so you can have a restaurant-quality meal, restaurant-quality picture-in-picture, but at your home. But the one that we wanted to do, which was this taco place, I don't have any slots available for this weekend, so we're doing that next weekend. So it just means that we might cook ourselves a little meal. We'll watch a film. We're just going to take it a little bit easy this year. We haven't actually got any major plans.
That's really nice. I think that's the best way to go.
Yeah. What are you doing?
I feel like terrible saying my plans now.
Why? What are you doing?
My plans is that I'm going to watch NXT Vengeance Day. I'm going to take notes on the show. And then I'm going to go live immediately on YouTube. That's literally my plans. My fiance will be there.
Well, there you go. At least you're doing something together. So that's yeah. Nice.
So yeah, at least that's... that. I hate to have like the total polar non-romantic answer.
And lastly, Jericho said, I've been thinking about this for the past week and why I watch wrestling, specifically WWE, Raw and SmackDown. If reviewing, talking about WWE was not a part of your job, would you still watch Raw and or SmackDown, and why or why not?
So I'll be honest, when I was in college, that was when I stopped watching a lot of wrestling, but I was watching all the pay-per-views and keeping up with the keeping up with the news. So there was a patch where I didn't watch Raw. I would skip it and I would just be like, all right, what happened? What's the big moments, whatever, what's going on in the news? I'm going to watch the pay-per-view. And I did that probably for like a year a year and a half when I was in college. Just I started focusing on other things. So I don't know now, because I came back. So it's almost like, would I come back if like, let's say I wasn't doing this job and I left, would I go and come and go? I feel like I'd come and go.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've said this before on podcast, but if this was not my job, I don't think I would be watching. I certainly wouldn't be watching Raw on a weekly basis. I don't think I'd be watching SmackDown either, because it's on a Friday, which means I'd have to watch it on a Saturday. I probably would watch AEW though, and NXT, because I do like those, and I would watch that. And because I've got easy access to them, they're on the network, and I can watch AEW through ITV, so I can easily get hold of those. But I, like you, I would watch the pay-per-views and I would watch and I would keep up with the news. It's an accessibility thing for me. I don't have Sky and I don't have BT Sports, so I've never had the ability to watch Raw on a weekly basis. I've never had the ability to watch SmackDown on a weekly basis, because I'm not giving any money to Sky. I'm also not getting it BT Sport for one thing. So I wouldn't watch it only because I've got no way of watching it. So, I mean, I could go through other means, but I don't think I would have the inclination to do so, nor the time. So I would probably just watch, the pay-per-views on the network, and I would keep up with the news, and that would be it.
So, like, I'm not proud of this, but I don't anymore, because I found out a new way, but I was watching SmackDown on BT Sport. Yeah, through certain other means. So when you said it, I was like, oh, that's how I've been watching SmackDown like the last couple of months on BT Sport. I watch on BT Sport and then like on Sony One. So like that one of them was like, yeah, it was like two totally. I would get like for a long time I was like, I don't even know what I'm watching, until like the commercials, because they're so different from ours. I was like, cricket. I was like, who the hell cares about cricket? But those are the commercials that they were giving me.
Denise, like, what was I loved about that? Too,
I would get the commercials for Premier League, and I was like, Premier League. That's when I realized I was watching streams from like God knows where.
One of my favorite things there is that you, unbeknownst to yourself, accidentally dropped in a line from the 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
It's
the first showdown between Raphael and Casey Jones, because Casey Jones has like lots of weapons and he brings out a cricket bat. And Raphael goes, cricket? You got to know what a crumpet is to understand cricket. And like, you then just kind of like, cricket? Who the hell cares about cricket? I was like, oh my God, she's Raphael.
Doesn't Raphael love pizza?
Oh, well, I mean, they all love pizza.
Yeah, they all love pizza. But Raphael, like, my client was the red headband, right?
He's the red headband, yeah, but he's also the surly one. Raphael's the surly, like, he's the bad boy of the group. Like, you know, Leonardo leads. He's the blue-eyed baby face. Michelangelo's the party dude, because he's the one who really loves pizza. Donatello's the smart one. He does the machines. But Raphael's cool but rude. And he's the bad boy of the group.
Oh, yeah, I'm not Raphael.
Oh no, we're all Michelangelo, let's be honest.
Yeah, I was gonna say Michelangelo's the party happy dude, right? Okay, he's that's the one, I feel I'm most like. Yeah.
I'm so excited to make you a Spotify playlist because in my head I'm thinking, right, do I want to make like a 90s, not Britpop, but like alternative 90s indie tracks, like from Great Britain, like The Beautiful South, or like who else could I put on there? I've actually got like my Spotify playlist up at the moment. Do I have some of The Cardigans on there, The Divine Comedy, some Garbage, Lightning Seed, The Manic Street
Preacher? Oh, I do love Garbage, by the way. So I know Garbage, like their first album, the pink one, the one with the pink cover. I know all the tracks on there.
Dude, that is a badass album. That is a great, great album. Yeah, like McCormick and Peanut, and like Porter's Head. Oh man, some Porter's Head on there. Do you know Prodigy?
No, I don't know Prodigy, Porter's Head, and a few other people you mentioned. No idea.
Hope, R.E.M. I mean, you probably know R.E.M. Reef.
I'm very nervous. I'm very excited, and now I'm thinking, what does Luke not know of?
Yeah, Spin Doctors, Terrorvision. I think there's some. I think there's some good tracks I could put on it. So I could either do that, or I could put together like the tracks of that I love from like my youth. So like my new metal and my metal tracks. Like give you some.
I've never listened to any metal.
Which is why I think I should probably do that. Like give you some Slayer, some White Zombie, some Deftones, some Korn, some Slipknot. Like go in there and go like real like Fear Factory. Yeah, really like get in there. I need to give this some real thought.
I know. And I'm debating too, because I want you to feel this amount of energy and happiness exploding out of you. That is what I wanted. That's the mood I want to give your playlist. But then I'm also thinking I could also make you really sad, and I could put some very, very sad, heartbreaking songs on there. But I think I'm going to go for the happy mood, because I'm already like songs are already popping up in my head, and I'm like trying to like remember them so that I don't forget when I do this playlist.
This is why I think you and my wife would get on so well, because my wife hates a lot of my music, because she said like it doesn't make me feel anything. Like I have to sort of like no emotional attachment to it. Like the music, she listens to a lot of sad songs. She's like, yeah, because it makes me feel something. Like I want a song to make me feel sad. I want a song to make me feel like love and sexy and things like that. And like and a lot of your music is just like, I don't know, you're just talking about death, and that's not fun. So
like, that's definitely not fun. Sad songs are way better, like, but not like death or like screaming type of songs.
Oh, in which case then
I actually like songs where I understand what the singer is saying, where I can hear both singer enunciate the words.
Maybe I'll do you two playlists because here's the thing. Like, I want to share some of these 90s songs with you because I think you'll genuinely love them. But there's also the part of me that thinks like, but the good reactionary thing would be to give her lots of screaming metal tracks.
Yeah, I think so too.
Not going to like, yeah.
Do what you have full creative freedom. You do you. Yeah. You do you.
Oh, I tell you what, I know like my wife's not up yet. She's currently asleep at the moment. But when she gets up and I tell her this project, she is going to be so excited, and she is going to have a lot of thoughts.
Are we going to do this? So you're going to send me the playlist. I'm going to send you the playlist. We're going to listen to it on our own time and then come back and tell each other like how we want to do this. Or
I think we need to listen to it in real time, right? Like, I think we need to like get on and jump on a call together. Oh, but then you got like the copyright.
Yeah, it won't work like that. So I'm almost thinking that you should maybe like, what we can do is we can make the video and tell people what's on the playlist, and then tell us like how you felt about it, what songs you liked, what songs you didn't, and go through like all of them one by one. Like, I hated it, I loved it, I hated it, but like information or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I think that we should probably film ourselves. Like we're just having a production meeting now.
No, but I'm saying, no, you can also film. Maybe we can film you like, film
ourselves listening to it and like reacting along to it in real time. And then I can send you those rushes and then we can just jump on a call like this and we can talk about the tracks and I can give you like what I thought was my favorite ones, ones I didn't like, what they made me feel in this, and we can have a conversation. I think that'd be really cool.
That would be really cool. And I could incorporate, okay, yeah. And then I'll edit it like really nice. This is a production meeting. So everybody's just listening to the production meeting now. Yeah. Okay. When you shoot your part though, make sure you can't hear the music though for the copyright purposes.
Oh man, I've got Raycons. These Raycons aren't bleeding out any audio. But yeah, anyway, so. Production meeting over. I'm so excited.
I'm gonna work on it tomorrow and I'll have it to you. I'll DM you and we'll figure it. Then we'll schedule things out. We'll get it working.
We'll work it out. Yeah, I'm excited. But yeah, okay. So, what aside from Vengeance Day, what do you think of the name Vengeance Day?
I like it. I don't care, but I like it because I remember when I was first starting to be a fan, one of my favorite, believe it or not, I really enjoyed Vengeance. I had some good memories from Vengeance. So I think that because I had those good memories, it kind of carried on. So when they did the name Vengeance Day, I mean, I really thought they could have done something maybe a lot cooler, but Vengeance Day is perfectly fine. But yeah, it doesn't really feel like Valentine's-y.
Well, that's the thing, is like it's clunky because they're trying to ebb Valentine's Day, but they've called it Vengeance Day. The problem is that Vengeance and Valentine's, outside of starting with the same letter, don't sound like each other. So it's clever in a way, but it's also incredibly clunky and doesn't work.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess just because I know it's Valentine's Day doesn't really like irk me. I don't know if they didn't want to like brand it Super Valentine's Day either, because then, you know, they're all in their black and gold and heavy metal music and all of that, you know. Yeah. Oh, you and Triple H would so get along. I can tell you guys listen to the exact same music.
I don't know if we would, because he really likes Motorhead, which is a band that I'm not massively keen on. Like my brother-in-law loves Motorhead. Like they're his favorite band. He's got tattoos of Motorhead and things like that. Like he absolutely loves them, but I've never really got on with Motorhead. And we've had on my stag do, we had not a full blown argument, but we had a very drunken, like shouting discussion about why I should like Motorhead, and me just shouting back at him why I don't like Motorhead.
I like the wrestling songs that I've heard them sing, because they do Evolution is a Mystery.
They did do that one, and Triple H's King of Kings.
Yeah, and I love all of those.
One of my favorite wrestling things ever is, and we reviewed this on Patreon, the WrestleMania X7, when they do Triple H's theme, and Lemmy clearly doesn't know the words to his own song, so he's just coming out.
Oh no.
Oh, he has absolutely not a blue's clue what the lyrics to that song are. So he just basically just keeps saying the same thing over and over again.
I never noticed that.
Oh yeah, now go back and watch it. Like if you listen to the song, like Triple H's entrance theme, right? And then you listen to Motorhead's version of it, he does not know what the words to it are. So he just keeps it. He just says like certain phrases from the song, but not like in the exact right.
You don't think he just kind of redid it?
No, come on, man.
I don't know. I just can't imagine someone forgetting their own song. Who does that?
But outside of watching Vengeance Day, have you got anything else planned for the weekend?
No, absolutely nothing this week. I'm just going to be at home. Saturday, I'm going to be working on videos. It's really sad. And then just working on work. And then Sunday, work again. So nothing major. Geez.
Yeah, like I was talking to Wally about this the other day, because it was something that my wife said to me, that like the weekends now just feel like a really long lunch break, because like our lunch breaks is, you know, we just like me and Kate get to hang out together and, you know, we'll eat and we watch stuff together. But now because we can't go anywhere, that's just what we're doing on weekends now. So it's like I'm kind of done with all of it now.
But yeah. Like, you
know, I get to hang out with her, so that's kind of the best thing. But at the same time, we're not doing anything, and I want to be able to do. I want to do stuff around the house. I want to put up some pictures. I want to like go out to a. I want to go to a Dun Elm, and I want to buy stuff to put in the house. But I want to consume. I want to go and spend money.
I want to do so much.
I'm the capitalist dream. I just want to the fat pigs that are set up so being like, give me all your money. I'm like, I want to give you my money. I want to buy stuff for the house.
But you know what's crazy though, is that this COVID thing has kind of made you more appreciative of like little things that you might not have cared about before. Like I find myself taking pictures of things that I'm like, oh, this is so pretty. And 2 years ago, I would have been like, ugh, that's nothing. And now I'm like, oh, it's so nice. And I find myself liking the little things now.
Yeah, no, we've had that because it's been snowing a hell of a lot here over the last like week or so. Like it snowed pretty much every day. And wow. So my back garden is still like covered in snow. And like outside my house is like covered in snow as well. In fact, actually, I might be able to show you some of the snow.
I was gonna say, I've never had snow in my house ever, ever, ever.
Right. Let's see if I can try and.
For the audio listeners, Luke is now taking down a frame from his window. Sorry, and I can see a brown building. I can't see the snow though. Is the all the white stuff light?
I'm getting to it. Sorry, I've got to disconnect some stuff, so I need to lift my laptop up. But I need to disconnect a drive in order to be able to do that.
Oh,
hold on. Audition is using that. Now it's not. Oh, come on.
Close. Great. Now I want to go to London.
Close audition. I'm not in London anymore. I'm in Kent now. But yeah, it's still. Oh. I think it's still snowing in London as well.
Where are you in Kent?
In Kent, yes.
Kent. The countryside. Does that count as London? Oh no, I lost Luke. Nope, there you are. I can't hear you. Nope, I can't hear you.
Probably now on a different.
There you go. There you go. I can hear you now.
Yeah, that should be a much better speaker. It's because I've disconnected my microphone.
Oh, okay. Got it. What? You have snow in your yard and your roof? What the hell?
That's on my garage roof.
Wow, that looks really nice.
The snow as far as the eye can see.
That is really nice. I've never, ever once opened my window and seen that in my entire life.
Yeah,
I've got
a lot of snow here at the moment.
There. The snow's just there, chilling.
Oh, dude, I had the fright of my life recently because I was sat here just doing my work. And all of a sudden, I just heard this like rumbling, and it was like a proper like, and I was like, "What the hell is that?" It was snow falling off my roof, like just coming loose, and like all of a sudden, this huge amount of snow just fell off by my window. It just fell down onto the floor. Very dangerous, because we've had so much snow here. But yeah, like I was just scared the life out of me because I didn't know what it was at first, and it was just loads of snow falling off the roof.
That looks really nice. So you should go out and do some snow angels. Go build a snowman.
We have talked about that. Actually, do you know what? I'm going to take on a bit of a tour. I'm going to show you outside the front of the house because I think that's much prettier. Hold on.
Oh, I'm very excited. I'm getting a tour here. I'm traveling. This is it.
Okay. All right.
I really like this. There would be absolutely nothing to show at outside. It's just boring sky and boring ground. So, oh, wow. See, that's really nice. You just
nice,
got
right?
everywhere. What the heck? Your windows are really nice too.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, you guys. I was gonna say you guys didn't put curtains. I like it like that.
Oh yeah, it's because we've only just moved in and we haven't got a place. Oh, okay. We haven't bought some curtains yet. Also,
you still have the trolleys. Oh my god, I would have like been done with the whole bag already. I bought some actually, a box of trolleys that I saw. I was short on trolley bags for the gift bags for the kids for Valentine's because I was eating them. So by the time I started doing the bags, not everybody got trolleys because I was eating them.
Right. Anyway, well, that was a very, very visual end to this podcast. This is an audio format podcast. Maybe I'll put up the video version of this on Twitter or something. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening. Have a great weekend, Denise. Thank you so much for doing the podcast with me again. Andy and Pete will be doing the podcast tomorrow, doing the SmackDown review. And then Ollie and I will be back for the Raw review on Tuesday. But until then, take care, everyone. I love you. Goodbye.
Rumble,
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.